Good afternoon, gardeners.
Hello, everyone.
You're Selena and Karen and special guest, Andrew.
Hello.
Hey, Andrew. Well, Andrew has taken time out of his busy work day to come talk to us today about being a tradie gardener. So, Andrew, you're doing all the heavy lifting and all the labour-intensive work. How's that going?
Yeah, we mostly do residential and commercial maintenance. So it's just basically trying to control weeds, growth and litter, and just keeping the place as tidy as possible for the clients.
Would you say it's like housekeeping but outside?
Correct, yes. It's just every now and then you've got to do strange things like clean windows. That's what sort of I like about it. It's everything's different.
And how did you get into the gardening trade?
When I was quite small, my parents had a large property, so I sort of always loved doing outdoor stuff. And I always followed my parents around in the garden. And then I decided after school I was going to do a diploma in recreation and sport, which I'd completed. But then the recession hit and I couldn't find a job. So then I spent about 7 or 8 years doing ponds and waterfalls around Auckland region. Then I worked in the garden centres and then I sort of branched out onto my own.
Wow, that's really cool because you must attribute to your parents for having a garden to begin with to get you into loving being in the garden, right?
Yeah, there's I'm the youngest of four and I'm the only one with the garden love, so
That's interesting.
Or did they just need an extra hand to help them?
Yeah, I suppose I'm the outdoor person of the family, so.
Well, they do often say even kids that come from farms quite often are not interested in becoming farmers.
That's true.
So, you know, could be something along those lines there.
Would they be put off, you reckon?
I don't know. I guess you're either like a green thumbs or you're not, really. And I mean, for you, Andrew, you've always known that you've enjoyed sports and the outdoors, but was it sort of like just sort of, well, okay, this is my second choice, let's just go with it for you?
Yeah, the sport and recreation at the time, and probably still now, didn't pay that much.
Right.
So that was another factor.
Mm.
And so I decided to do the sport and recreation, but just sort of on my own terms, but not as a sort of a career.
Mm. There's the labour-intensive side of gardening that I think we're all aware of. It's quite hard work. Would you say you're lifting a lot of tonnage every day? You do your job?
Yeah, as you get older, it's about being more clever with your work habits. You shouldn't be making mistakes, so you try to make life as easy as possible. I was working with a arborist, probably one of the better ones in Auckland region, and because he's, you know, reaching into his 40s like I am, he tries to be as lazy as possible with doing the best possible job.
Yeah. Mm. So working smarter, not harder.
Yeah.
And do you have any, like, things you recommend or tools that you use to save your back?
Yeah, I've gone sort of full circle because a lot of my knowledge has been gained by sort of working for elderly people and who have been gardeners all of their life.
Yeah.
And so I've sort of followed what's worked for them. And most people sort of, I suppose, equate gardening with a bad back. So I've been very lucky. I've been kayaking most of my life. So it's very, very strange for a kayaker to have a bad back because you're not the strongest person, but your core is very strong. Another factor, a lot of people, I see them kneeling down, and it's really, really imperative, I think, to have a mat rather than knee pads, because what I found with knee pads, they put too much pressure on the patella. So if you're bending down for long periods, it's better to load your shins up rather than your patella. So you never hear of anyone of old age with worn-out shins, do you?
No. Yeah.
So it's always the patella that sort of, you know, you get a bit of arthritis. And it also keeps your knee away from that sort of that damp earth.
Well, I never kneel down, really. I'm more of a squatting person. yeah. when I go and weed low on the ground.
Me too. I usually just plonk my bum on the ground. Best padding option there. But I'm prone to lower back problems because I have a long back. So I had a job in a factory once where I was in a lab and bending over from my lower back, looking over a microscope for a lot of the day. And I had the worst back problems I've ever had. I ended up in so much pain I couldn't go to work for a number of days. And I realised what was happening. So, yeah, so gardening for me, if you are, like, leaning over like that, yeah, all the time, that hurts my back doing it that way. So I actually am forced to have to sit on the buttocks.
Yeah, hence all the raised bed gardens for the elderly that are becoming quite trendy.
Or work smart and maybe mix up your jobs. So maybe do a bit of low, you know, ground work and then maybe do a bit of walking around work. Or
the good thing about being short is, you're easier because you're lower to the ground, but then there's benefits being tall. Would you say, Andrew, you're quite a tall person?
Yeah, it's like Karen said, I try to mix up the jobs too. That makes, you don't want to be doing, like, today I was weeding turf for a customer, so I sort of weed one side of the turf and then I mow it, just sort of mix it up, so you're always hitting a different muscle mass.
Exactly.
So if you don't want to be, that's why a lot of people get trouble, you know, when they're sitting in chairs for long periods because their hip flexors get really tight, and then that brings on knee pain and back pain and everything else. It's
repetitive strain.
It is.
And it's been around for a very long time, and anyone that expects any person to sit in the same position for more than 2 hours at a time, I think, is in the wrong. It's not natural.
Yeah.
Even if you're unwell and lying in a hospital for a long period of time for whatever reason, they still will try and encourage you to move as much as you can, or they'll turn you. It's just one of those common sense things, in my opinion.
Okay. So, Andrew, how many gardens a week on average would you go and look after?
It normally works out to be 1 to 2 per day.
Wow, so that's like...
Sometimes if I've got someone helping me out, sometimes a bit more, but...
10 a week?
It may be maximum of 3, even of 2 people.
Yeah.
It normally takes at least 3 hours. Some larger blocks, like yesterday, it takes 5 or 6 hours, and it's even using big machinery, it's you don't really see where you've been on 10 acres.
Would you say that faster is better? In terms of getting things done,
I always go for the sort of the big jobs first, and then I sort of narrow it down into what needs to be what needs attention. I suppose with age, I can see problems with plants. So I sort of try to deal with the plant hygiene first if I walk into a property.
He's got the gardening eye. He's been doing it a while now.
Yeah, you kind of have to have a look and see what needs to be done.
Well, first. I noticed that I've been on site with Andrew a few times. He's given me the odd cash job here and there. Sorry, IRD, didn't hear that. Anyway, so, yeah, he sort of just, I noticed he'll sort of have a quick glaze over the property.
Yeah,
so, you know, suss it out, and then sort of mode of attack thereafter. You know, that's what I've noticed anyway from my observations.
So, Andrew, how big are some of your sites? Like, what's the biggest and what are the smallest ones? Give us an idea of.
Well, I think Karen's been to Rochelle's place. That's 10 acres.
Yes, that's a lifestyle property.
Basically,
out in
like a big park.
Yeah.
So they mow it all. It's it's quite a huge property.
Are you involved with the mowing or just the gardening side?
I do the ride-on mowing around the house on the small ride-on, and the owner does the tractor work with the larger mower. It's 10 acres of basically lawn and garden, so it's quite, takes
It's, yeah.
It takes about an hour and a half, I think, to do the lawn, and that's with a huge lawnmower.
Yeah. Do you have to be careful about the noise with the mowers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's imperative to always wear safety, protective eyewear and normally grade 5 head earmuffs.
Oh, they call it ear defenders.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Thanks for that. Sounds good.
Yeah, let's talk about machinery. So what do you think about the modern garden machinery that helps you do the job in terms of, like, petrol-driven ones or electric?
Okay. Most of the time we call them battery now. And the new battery from Makita, which I use, is just absolutely brilliant. I've never done a hedge job and had it run out. And
yeah.
I normally only have to charge it for, I think it takes 40 minutes to get full charge. And because it's a brushless motor, there's not much to go wrong with it. And I still wear hearing protection because it's just the chain noise.
Mm.
That's the sort of, I think, the future is battery. It's just, you've got no cords, it's quiet, you can hear yourself think, and the client doesn't have to hear a screaming two-stroke.
Yeah.
And what about your leaf blower?
The leaf blower, yeah. Some things, they suck the power a lot more than others. Like a hedge trimmer, you should be able to get about, they say 45 minutes, but I think it's over that of cutting time. But with a battery blower, you probably only get about 15, 20 minutes.
Oh, isn't that interesting?
It uses more power, so I haven't. The only thing I've gone so far battery is the hedge trimmer, and even that has been superseded my model for a lighter one and bigger reach, so it's moving really fast.
Yeah, soon they'll get so light that it won't be an issue, won't it? The battery, I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah, because the technology is improving all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And it is a bit of a hassle if you're using petrol or gas driven ones, because then you have to fill them up and you might spill.
I think it's a hassle using ones attached to electrical cords too, to be honest.
That's dangerous.
I've tried that.
Oh, I haven't.
We had an electric lawnmower, which Pierre and I purchased, and never again. No. We've gone back to petrol.
What about battery lawnmowers? Have you tried them?
I think they've still got a little bit to go. If you've got a small yard, fine, but they're not there commercially yet.
Because they have the, for the home garden, the little robot mowers now.
Oh.
Which I've seen demonstrated.
Maybe we need to get Elon Musk onto the lawnmower.
The garden shows. I think the brand is Gardener, and they're like little round discs, and they just... Nowhere to go.
That sounds...
Robot controlled.
I don't know. I'm feeling a little bit uncomfortable with that idea. Even the ones that they have, the vacuum cleaner ones that go around your house vacuuming everything, I don't know. Sounds to me like something wrong's going to get caught up in it. Or maybe we've got cats.
Yeah,
I don't know.
The cats,
like,
and
I
the dogs. I just feel
robots. Just I'm not. No. Even those. Yeah. Anything automatic, like car, self-driving cars, that kind of thing, freak me out a bit.
Do you think they'll put us out of a job?
Well, my. You know how my son's car mad at the moment. Sorry, we're off the topic a little bit, but he watched this YouTube video of one of these self-driving cars. So imagine this, maybe with the lawnmower one day or whatever, like the one you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And the guy actually said, oh, I'm going to pretend that he got his girlfriend to like quickly run out in front of it as if like someone was just running out in front of the car to see what would happen.
And did it.
Yeah, no, it was a bit slow to react.
Oh,
yeah,
okay.
Yeah. And it was hopeless at parallel parking.
Right.
Yeah, so, yeah.
Mm.
Anyway.
Okay.
I'm diverging there, but... Yeah.
Andrew, let's get on to some favourite plants. What are some good ones for hedging? And can you share with us that you found are really good hedges?
You've got Griselinia hedges, which everybody loves in Auckland. But there is issues. It gets Phytophthora a lot. It doesn't get any insect issues, doesn't get frost damage.
What's that you just mentioned then, sorry? What does it get?
It's basically root rot.
Oh, I think that's what I've got going on with mine.
So you've got to basically mound them up unless you've got perfect soil. They don't grow well in heavy clay.
Yeah. Mm. That's it. That's what's happened to mine.
Oh.
So,
But they have a lovely green leaf.
Beautiful.
Like a glossy kind of
beautiful.
Thing. Beautiful colour.
What's the leaf? I'm pretty sure it's a glossy leaf.
Yeah, it's a glossy leaf.
And is it a large leaf or a small?
Quite a large leaf, I'd say.
There's two different types. So you get the large one and the smaller one. Some people are going towards Ficus tuffy now because it doesn't have the Phytophthora issue and it forms a denser hedge. But the nurseryman said does get a bit of frost damage. I've yet to plant one, but I believe they're going to supersede Griselinia in the future. A bit like Griselinia superseded Pittosporum hedge.
Well, I don't think you'll have a problem with frost in Auckland anyway, to be honest. I mean, you get a
it's
little bit
warm
of frost,
and warmer,
but
yeah.
How about Carokia? Do you like that one? I quite like it. It's got sort of similar to Buxus, but it's a native for just small hedges, and it trims up really nice.
It does, yeah. That's another nice one. Camellia, that's pretty.
Camellia's really good.
Bulletproof.
The oldies really love camellia because of the flowers as well.
And but not as dense as some of the other hedging, though.
Yeah.
So bigger leaves. A bit more of a woody.
It's quite glossy and...
But I prefer that more as a shrub or a bush than a hedge, just quietly.
Another one is Escalonia, which...
Never heard of it.
No?
What's that?
It has a lovely pink flower and it's really tough. It can grow in clay. So, yeah, that's one that I used to look after when I was doing some hedging. And you can, do a rounded sort of hedge.
Oh,
you don't have
nice.
To cut them off straight. You can sometimes do a rollover, they call it.
Oh, nice.
And another one, Teucrium.
Yeah.
Teucrium is really cool because it just has this kind of growth habit that just meshes together, like grows like your interlacy.
Oh, right.
Yeah, I was just cutting a Teucrium hedge before I arrived here.
Oh, so.
I know all about them, yes.
Do you like them?
They sometimes get a bit sulky. I think they tend to dry out and you get some areas of the hedge which does brilliantly and other parts not so well.
Oh,
so
okay.
it's a bit temperamental.
Yes. Mm. Yeah. Depending on which end.
How about Manuka as a hedge? What do you reckon, Andrew? Have you ever seen that?
Don't think I have. Totra makes an amazing hedge.
Does it? Oh,
yeah.
That's cool.
Even the Bouchard Gardens in Vancouver Island have a Totra hedge out in front of their place.
Totra hedge?
Yeah, Totra hedge is, you won't even be able to put your hand through it. It's that dense.
Really?
Because
I always imagine it as being a big,
growing.
Solid, native tree.
No, it's one of the best hedges out there.
And they can grow them quite close.
I've got one at Mission Bay I've just been to, and that's, it's forming into a really nice hedge.
Mm.
But it does take a long time. It's not like a Griselinia, or will probably take 5 to 10 years to get a really good hedge going.
Okay. Mm. So we have to be a bit patient.
Oh, that's good to know for the native front there. You know, it's nice to...
If you don't want a hedge, how about like a railing and you want to grow some plants over it to make a screen? What would you recommend there that's really good to... have and not too much to look after?
Star jasmine. That's pretty bulletproof. Yeah. Star jasmine.
Yep, I'd agree with that.
And beautiful smelling.
Yep.
Yeah.
The
wow.
Thing you might need to be careful is when you're cutting it because of the sticky sap.
Yeah, but you just cover up. It's I've just planted one in at my sister's place in Brisbane, and it's actually got the yellow flowers.
Oh, okay.
Which we don't have in New Zealand.
Yeah. Is it like a bold yellow or a pale?
Pale yellow, but totally different. So
I wonder if it, how it would go over here if you...
And variegated leaf, sorry.
Stuck a cutting in your suitcase.
No, I don't think...
I don't know. Some
Math would be that happy.
Some of the jasmines have become a bit out of control.
Yeah.
That's why...
Isn't it on the... What do they call that list of plants?
Invasive.
There's a website called the something or another.
The Weed Busters.
And they've got all the weeds and plants that we're not supposed to be planting. There's an official name for it. But anyway,
I'll mention that.
But I'm pretty sure I saw jasmine or one of the species of jasmine on there.
As for star jasmine.
Some of them were common ones that I'm thinking, oh, I've got that in my backyard.
It's a good one. How about Moulinbeckia for a screen if it grows over a rail?
Yeah, that's great. There's one in, I think, in Kumiu supermarket, which climbs up their ginormous wall, and it's spectacular.
I've seen a really good specimen or an example of it. You know, the motorway coming down the northwestern on a bank, and it's just covering the side of the motorway.
Oh, nice.
Like, growing down. But there's a huge space to cover.
And it's purposefully...
Yeah, purposely planted there to cover the side of the motorway.
Okay. Nice.
And
nice choice.
It looks really good.
Yeah.
And they can take a wind. You see them out at Beffles, out in the hills. And they thrive there, so they can take that coastal wind all the time.
Hmm.
So, Andrew, what do you do with all the hedge prunings in your work? Do you just take them away to be composted, or do you do something with them?
No, I normally put them for a chipper, and I can normally hold 2.5 to 3 cubes in my trailer, and then I take it to a client's place, and I just leave in a pile to heat up, and then I put into the garden.
And it's a really good nutrients for the
Yeah, it's amazing.
Plants.
Yeah, it's especially if you get something like Griselinia hedging, it's just pure nitrogen.
Yeah.
In that instance, you can just put straight on the around the plants because it's just going to be a really good feed.
Mm.
So there's no carbon at all. It's just pure nitrogen.
Mm. Wow.
Because leaves are really good for that.
Green leaves especially.
Yeah. Well, that's good to hear that you're being sustainable, Andrew.
Yeah, the noxious weeds go to the green waste. Someone else can deal with them. Or inorganic stuff goes to the dump.
Yeah.
Mm. And the other thing is, I'm a bit naughty. I'll chuck in my greens sort of into my rubbish occasionally if I don't have a big enough pile happening. Mm. Urban living is difficult, to manage all the green waste. Something I learnt through Andrew was they don't accept at the Waitakere dump cabbage tree frongs.
Cabbage tree and flax.
Right.
And yuccas.
And yuccas, yeah. Well, so that was interesting. I was like, what? But they just take too long to break down, I think, for them. I don't want to say damn it, maybe just are quite hard on the machinery.
Well, they can't. They just jam up the machinery.
It's fibrous.
So they have a big mulcher, so I think it's living air who take it, and they just it just jams it up and just wraps that's around all their equipment. So.
Something you have to be wary of when you're mowing lawns is to make sure there's no cabbage tree leaves falling on.
I don't know how many times my parents used to have flax on their property. I don't know how many times I stuffed up Dad's lawnmower running over the flax. Off you go, but yeah.
I've got another question. Which a plant do you wish people just wouldn't plant in their gardens?
Oh, great question, Selena.
Flax.
Speaking of which,
What's wrong with flax?
Told Mum to rip out of her property other day, remember? I said, get rid of that flax.
They're high maintenance, they're messy. In a given place, in a bog garden or in a swamp, they're incredible.
Yes.
But
yes.
Not in a commercial property. I just did a quote for a landscape designer, and it was just full of flaxes, and I was like, no, we're not going to put those in.
Yeah.
And she was like, why? I said, they're too high maintenance.
Alternative widgets?
And then getting them out if you want to take them out. What a mission.
Yeah, and they're not, the stupid thing is they're putting them into, like, all around the Trust Stadium, you'll see them, and they're all an absolute mess because they haven't got the manpower to clean them up.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is, they're not very environmental because the fact that Karen alluded to is that they don't go for a mulcher, so they all have to go into the landfill.
Oh, no.
So that's not...
And they're not being used to make, you know, flax baskets or anything.
No, so I tell all of my commercial clients, I just get rid of them in the end.
Mm.
And so what would you suggest they plant instead for flax?
Well, you've got amazing things like, it's not a native, but it's Lamandra.
Oh,
yes. It just doesn't have any issues, and you can cut back. It can take the heat, it can take salt, it can take wind.
Mm. It looks
beautiful.
What is it?
It's kind of like looks like a big pom-pom, doesn't it?
Yeah. Okay.
There's different forms. Yeah. There's Tanika, which is used a lot.
Mm.
Nikals, they're incredible. Beautiful sculptural.
Oh, Nikals are great.
Yeah.
Mm, definitely.
Well, Andrew, I've got a list here, and you just give your input of what you think of these plants. Okay, so yuccas.
No, I think they're a bit dated.
I don't like them at all. But you see them planted everywhere, especially.
You do, but I think that was more in the 90s. It's a bit like everybody used to put in pittosporum hedges because that's what everybody did. Now everybody's putting in Griselinia. So I think it's a sort of a trend.
Ah, trendy plant.
And they've got those annoying spiky leaves that are just constantly falling off and you're having to,
And I mean, with the arborist, he cut down a yucca. And I kid you not, it would be the same diameter of this table.
Really?
This table is over what?
A metre.
Yeah.
Oh, you're joking.
Because no, I had cut it down previously, and then it just got bigger and bigger and bigger.
That's insane.
Okay. And that was right next to a house.
That's from mower days,
No yuccas. They've had their day. Don't plant them. And also, Phoenix palms. No.
I've got a friend who got one of those horrible daggers right through his chainsaw chaps and got incredibly infected.
Oh.
So,
thanks. Yeah.
They're nasty, nasty plants.
Yes.
They should be, I think they are considered noxious now.
They're banned.
What is that one called again, sorry?
Phoenix palm.
Phoenix palms. Okay.
They're huge.
Yeah.
You see them?
Terrible spikes on
them. Yes, I know the one. Yeah, yeah.
All along the Trust Stadium. Sorry, Trust Stadium, we just don't like your planting choices. okay, what about Dietes?
Yeah, I use it a lot.
You like them?
Yeah, I like them.
Oh.
No, you're not a fan?
Well, I think they're overused myself, and when I've worked in them, people just like, we have to get rid of them. They just multiply, and then you have to cut them.
They do. I think use in moderation, they're fine.
Okay. Use in moderation.
Yeah. Cool.
Lily pulleys.
No.
No.
Because they get the psyllid insect.
Horrible.
Which is a blistering of the leaf. Then you've got to use a heavy-duty insecticide for them. So I'm going completely
away.
And they get mites.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay, let's wrap it up there. Otherwise, we could be on here talking about plants we don't like. But thank you so much, Andrew, for coming in and sharing about being a garden tradie.
Yes.
It's been really interesting chatting with you.
It has. Very informative and helpful. Thank you.
So, So happy gardening, everyone. Just catch us on our new garden Facebook group, Garden Planet. So just if you're on Facebook, we'll be on there.
And don't forget to email.
Yes, gardenplanetfm@gmail.com if you want to ask us anything to do with gardening.
Absolutely. Catch you later.
Bye.
Bye.